What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Thursday right here on B&E. That makes it a Buck Off Thursday on the show of the people. It's a very cold Buck Off Thursday. 50-degree temperature drop from day to day. At 7 o'clock. Hey, what was the temperature about 7 last night? It was about, just before 7, as the sun went down, or about 5:30, it was about 78 degrees where I was. It's now 33 degrees in West Austin. Temperatures dropping throughout the course of the morning, as we told you they would. And, boy, that blustery north wind bites right through you this morning. It drops the wind chill well below that, and that's going to be the case for the next several days. So get ready. Winter conditions in the ATX and throughout Central Texas, throughout the listening area, however you find us. We appreciate you being there with a lot of big conversations coming. Bucky out today and tomorrow, so Isaiah Collier and I holding the fort, and great guests. We'll talk to Brian Davis, bottom of the hour. Of course, our good buddy from the Austin American Statesman. We'll talk some Longhorn football, also Longhorn basketball. We'll get to talk to Chris Beard tomorrow, our weekly visit with the Texas head basketball coach, get his thoughts on back-to-back Big 12 losses, the sloppy, turnover-prone performance on Saturday at Iowa State, and then that was followed up by just a rough end to that Kansas State game. Longhorns had defensive mental lapses, but obviously no points in the final 3:32 of a basketball game that you're leading by five. Not going to get it done against good Big 12 teams, because there really isn't a bad one. Even the teams that don't have great records can beat you on any given night. We've seen that in the 10-team Big 12, no question. So we'll talk to Brian about that. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics. And coming up in our coaches' corner, we'll get into this Gary Patterson conversation. He is now on board and in place. It hadn't been made official yet. Get you some details on that. But Gary Patterson showing up each and every morning. Actually, he's already at the facility if his pattern has been to be there for those 6:30 winter workouts, kind of overseeing those, getting to know the players and the roster as the special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian. We'll get into these headlines as well. And, Zay, can we hit our B&E fact of the day as we start this Thursday morning in this 7 o'clock hour?
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Isaiah Collier, our producer, you're going to have to tell us what was in the water last night in the NBA. Have you seen a wilder night than we've seen in the NBA last night? Let me just give you an example. Joel Embiid had 50 points and 12 rebounds in 27 minutes and 3 seconds. That is the fewest minutes played in a 50-point, 10-rebound game in the shot clock era since the mid-50s. So that's pretty good performance, right?
Oh, he was killing.
Mo Bamba in that same game, the former Longhorn, had 28 points in the first half. He's never had more than 22 in a game, but he posted 28 on his way to a career high.
Give Mo the ball more. I've been saying that for the longest time. Everybody thinks he's a big defensive stopper, which he has some defensive, lapses. Obviously, Embiid dropped a 50 ball on him yesterday, but Mo Bamba, he's got skill, man. Let him score.
Well, you're right, the 50 ball in under 30 minutes. Come on, man. Give him some resistance. But point being, and here's our fact of the day, last night in the NBA, there were 26 25 or more point games around the league, which is tied for the most on any day in NBA history. You also add there were 15 30 or more point games by players. That's tied for the most on any day in NBA history. And there were 8 30-point double-doubles, which is tied for the most on any day in NBA history. Luka Doncic posted a 40-point, 10-rebound game. Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP, had 49, 14, and 10 in an overtime win. Something was up in the association last night, Isaiah.
Yeah, it's called playing no defense. Defense was not on the menu yesterday at all. And that's what you see when you're getting the game 45, 46, like these guys. Those legs, yeah, you're not trying to push it as hard defensively as you probably were game one.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I'm going to kind of teed you up for that. But, yeah, no defense would be the name of the game. I was thinking full moon or whatever. But, no. No D is the obvious answer to that B&E. Fact of the day, and we appreciate you. Let's get to those headlines. Trending topics to start this Thursday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, start with the hoops at the Irwin Center last night. How about the Texas women? Of course, the Longhorn men fell flat in a loss on Tuesday night. Much better results last night, as the Longhorn women took down the 7th-ranked team in the country, Iowa State, 66-48. Iowa State came in undefeated in the Big 12 at 5-0. They suffered their first conference loss. Longhorns improved to 3-2 and 13-3 on the year for head coach Vic Schaefer and that side. Played great defense last night in that win. Speaking of no defense. Also from Longhorn football, it's now official. Statement from former Longhorn kicker Cameron Dicker yesterday that he is indeed filed his paperwork. He will forego his final year of eligibility and pursue an NFL future. Of course, he did kick for 4 years at Texas and had that fifth year of eligibility, but he wants to go try the National Football League. Also yesterday, multiple outlets reporting that the Big 12 Conference intends to shift from the current 10-team league to two 7-team divisions when it becomes a 14-team conference in 2023. BYU, Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati would join the league starting that year. Obviously, under the reported plan, Texas and Oklahoma are going to be split into the North and South division, but it's unclear how long the rivals will even be in the conference with their pending move to the SEC. Big news from the NFL. Divisional playoff weekend on tap. Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry took another big step towards being activated for the Titans' divisional game with Cincinnati on Saturday afternoon. Henry was placed on injured reserve back on November 1st because of a fractured foot, but he participated this week in a couple of the team's full contact practices and, according to coaches, responded well. That's a key checkpoint for his recovery process. Titans want to see if he can participate the rest of this week before they decide whether to activate him or not, but looking like it's trending in that direction. Titans and Bengals, one of the four divisional playoff games this weekend. On Saturday, they're the early game. Then Green Bay hosting San Francisco on Sunday night. Rams in Tampa on Sunday at noon, or 2 o'clock, I should say. And then the night game on Sunday is Buffalo at Kansas City, which should be a great one. Mentioned the hoops. A lot going on last night, including all three Texas teams. They all get victories. Spurs get the victory over Oklahoma City. DeJounte Murray with his 8th triple-double of the year. Mavericks beat up Toronto with Luka Doncic in that huge night. And the Rockets won in Utah, 116-111.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yeah, buck off to me. Let me say, check that. The women played at Ames, Iowa last night. They played in Iowa State. I thought that was an Irwin Center game. I apologize. Someone pointed that out, and it says it right there on the date line of the score. Ames, Iowa. I know Vic Schaefer had been frustrated with his team. They'd taken some losses back-to-back in the Big 12, but, man, regroup. They beat West Virginia over the weekend on Saturday night, and then they go to Ames. That's a big upset right there, Zayden. Not just to go on the road, but to beat them double digits. I mean, 66-48. That's not just a win, that's a beatdown. You wonder if that's kind of a pivot point to this Longhorn women's season. Chris Beard and the men were looking for one at some point. That's a big win for them.
Yeah, the Cyclones have been number one in the Big 12 in women's basketball. So going up to Ames and defeating them is big time for Schaefer and those Lady Longhorns.
Yeah, well, man. I believe Vic, if the schedule holds, will be joining Craig Way today and the guys on Light the Tower. He's a weekly Thursday guest of Craig and Jeff and Snoop. I don't know that changes because they're having to travel back and all that's going on, but let's hope. Usually it's right about 10:10, first segment of that show at 10 o'clock as we hand the baton to the Light the Tower guys. That's coming up this morning. Also coming up bottom of the hour, talk to Brian Davis. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. Tom McKay and his crew at avconsultations.com. 31 years right here helping you with all of your audiovisual needs. No one does it better than AV Consultations. Hey, Zay, so this Gary Patterson story continues to evolve. And I don't say it's mysterious. It's just normally when the university makes a hire like this, they make an announcement. They make it official. I thought there might even be a press availability. That's not happening or hasn't happened. But Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7, who we talked to just back on Friday, is digging on this story. And this is really interesting to me. And Chip does great work over there. He says he talked to Gary Patterson. He was at the basketball game on Tuesday night. And one of the things he reported this morning is that the reason hasn't made the Gary Patterson hire as a special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian hasn't been made official is that there's paperwork that's going through, and he's not officially an employee yet, or all the whatever that is. So they haven't announced it yet. But he's showing up every day at the facility, as we've told you. Got his key card now. I know last week I heard that he didn't have his key card, so someone had to let him in every morning when he got there. And now he's got his UT ID, and we saw him on Tuesday night with his UT pullover. It's happening. And this is the interesting part, and this is where Chip does a good job. He said he had a quick conversation with Gary Patterson before the game. And here's how Chip wrote it this morning. He says, "But something Patterson said Tuesday night struck me in showing how perceptive he is as it pertains to Longhorn football. Because according to Chip, when he spoke to Gary Patterson, essentially he asked him, you know, what are you hoping to achieve here? And Patterson said to Chip, 'I want to be for Sark what Dick Tomey was for Mac Brown.'" Now, that's a direct quote that Chip has gotten his story this morning from Gary Patterson. Well, that's a huge revelation right there. That is, that is what we've talked about. We've sat here with Bucky, myself, and Yuse talking about, remember when Dick Tomey came in with Greg Robinson in 2004 and really took the Longhorns had the soft label. They had good teams, but they couldn't beat Oklahoma. They'd get pushed around in physical games. They looked like a program on the ascend, but, Mac Brown at that time had the Coach February tag, where all he is recruiters and brings in talent, but they're soft as a program. Well, interesting to me that Gary Patterson would actually cite Dick Tomey, because we've talked about it a lot, that when Dick Tomey came in, Dick Tomey had been a very successful head coach. He was in his 60s. He'd been a very successful head coach at Hawaii and Arizona. He was, at the time, the winningest coach in both programs' history when he got here. And when Carl Reese retired as defensive coordinator of the Longhorns in 2003, after that season, Mac went to Greg Robinson, who had NFL experience, right? Greg Robinson won 2 Super Bowls as the defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos during the John Elway era, along with Mike Shanahan. And then brought in Dick Tomey as kind of a not co-defensive coordinator, but kind of a special advisor on the defensive side of the ball. And, for Gary Patterson to say, "This is what I want to do for Sark," is really, really revealing of what we're talking about. And it goes to the soft label Texas has right now, the entitled culture that we talk about, the country club of Texas, that Patterson understands it. Patterson sees it. Patterson knows it because he's seen it for a decade now in Big 12 play, the entitlement culture. There's another couple paragraphs from Chip's story this morning. He says, is it related to Dick Tomey? He said, "Dick Tomey helped Mac focus on what was important as it pertained to football. So Mac could step away at times to handle any CEO rules or duties without feeling like details were being missed. Everyone is going to ask for specifics about Patterson's new role, but there isn't a paragraph job description for this one. It's whatever Sarkisian needs, and mostly what it means is getting the perception and a fresh set of eyes that have been part of winning 6 conference championships, 70% of his games, and 22 seasons at TCU, which is kind of what we talked about. For him to say that to Chip, that he wants to be what Tomey was for Mac, that's revealing to me, Zay. He's coming in with his eyes open. He understands he's not going to be stepping on defensive toes. He's going to try to fire up the program. He's going to try to bring some physicality behind the scenes and the strength conditioning, because Dick Tomey, that's one thing that he absolutely did. When he got here, he was overseeing those early 6 a.m. workouts. He was, a big part of bonding the team in those moments. And obviously that was 2004. That season they went on to go win the Rose Bowl over Michigan, which was then followed up by a national championship the following year. Sure, there was plenty of talent and there were a lot of good players, but anybody that was covering the program at the time knew that there was something missing. There was a missing piece, and it was physicality, it was toughness, it was a culture of tenacity. That, as we say, Dick Tomey got a lot of credit for, and for Patterson Zay to say that, I think is interesting.
Very interesting and very welcoming to me, because it shows that Coach Patterson is locked in, and like you said, he understands how this school has been perceived over the years with the soft label. Hell, Gary Patterson's been benefiting off that for as long as I can remember, with his years at TCU by with recruiting and by getting this team pumped up. So everybody knows when you're the head coach at the University of Texas, it's more than just X's and O's. You got to do a lot of stuff off the field, and hopefully Gary Patterson could help Sark be at ease about stuff on the field.
Exactly. And, you know, another set of eyes, you know, that – well said right there. And look, there's a relationship here with DeLost Dodds. When I hear that, when Chip reporting that he said, I want to be, you know, like Dick Tomey, clearly there's been conversation. And DeLost was here when Dick Tomey came in, and DeLost saw it, saw how it, you know, changed the program and how it, you know, they went from a soft label to a very physically tough, mentally tough football program over the next several years. And once that culture was established, it carried the day. I mean, they won the national title. But when Colt McCoy took over for Vince Young, it continued. And we know this. Once you set the culture, once you establish the culture then gets handed down. The players begin to patrol that culture. They take pride in that culture. They understand this is what it takes. But it takes – you gotta put it in place. And right now it's missing at Texas. It has been. With all the coaching changes, the turnover, the new, different messages on a year-by-year basis. And for someone like Gary Patterson, who's observed that from the outside but understands intimately the program because of his, you know, as we've talked about, his wife Kelsey worked in for the Longhorn program under DeLost Dodds when she was a student, and then soon after, she's close with the Dodds family and knows how Texas athletics and what it's all about. He obviously knows that too, even though he was coaching at TCU as an enemy of the state. But, you know, that is an interesting tidbit, and props to Chip for getting that, because there's clearly been conversations with DeLost Dodds and Gary Patterson, and then, you know, vis-a-vis that through Chris Del Conte of, look, this is the role you can fill. This is what our program needs right now. This is how you can really, really help us. And you said it at TCU, Zay, for 22 years, they were a tough program. They were not always the most talented, there's no doubt. Patterson was great at talent evaluation and finding those guys who were 2-3-star players who became and played like 4- and 5-star players. But the program itself was built on a culture of toughness, tenacity, great defense. And if he can bring some of that to this program, that will be huge for Steve Sarkisian. And as you say, the ability to, you know, focus on, you know, the CEO duties of this program, everything that goes into it. That it's a big job to be the head coach of the University of Texas. We know that. There's a lot that you're handling. If Gary Patterson is in and his feet are on the ground and he's in there helping with those winter workouts, reporting back to Coach Sark, here's what's happening. That can be a nice bridge for this staff to get to know this team and a role for Gary Patterson. So interesting in that story at Horns 24/7 with Chip Brown this morning. But that's where it stands. I guess. I could be dead wrong on this, Zay. I assumed there would be a press conference at some point, that there'll be an announcement, they'll have a press availability. Maybe it's – because, like, you know, the media that cover the Big 12 want to know about this story. The fans at TCU would like to know what this is all about, if Gary joining Texas. That there's more to it than this, the Longhorn side of this. But it does feel like that Patterson maybe wants to roll in here and, you know, keep his head down and go about his business. And maybe there won't be a lot of fanfare made about him joining the staff.
Well, hopefully they get him some lighter gear, because we know how Gary be sweating. So hopefully they get him some dry fit or something to where, you know, he'll be able to stay cool in all of this new Texas fit.
Yeah, this is obviously Gary Patterson is listening to you guys. Well, I hope. If Gary, because he's down there, I've been told, before 6 o'clock in the morning. So he's probably not hearing much of our show unless he's listening on the app. But I really think he's listening to DeLost Dodds. I mean, I really, you know, he has a very close relationship with DeLost, the longtime AD. His wife certainly does. So I think those were where the conversation stemmed. That, you know, when the, I'm just going to connect dots and speculate, but it feels like it's backed up by what we're seeing and hearing. That, you know, this conversation began after he was, you know, out at TCU back in October. And we've talked to Mac Engel up there in Fort Worth at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram here on the show, who covered the entirety of Gary's tenure at TCU. And he said that, you know, this was something that Gary romanticized, the idea of taking a role like this. Like, you know, one of the things that bogged Gary down at TCU was having to be the CEO and all that comes with the head coaching job at a major, you know, Big 12 school. I mean, as Mac Engel put it, you know, making sure your coaches' salaries are keeping up with the Joneses, making sure you're going to bat for them and their families. Facilities are expanding. You're keeping up with the Joneses on, you know everything that goes into recruiting, all the bells and whistles, and while all the press and availabilities and media responsibilities that go with a job like that. And so while you're doing that, you're clearly losing focus on the football team, or you can. And that's, you know, and as Mac Engel told us, that's something Gary kind of romanticized, the idea of going to a program like Texas and trying to help from the ground level, not have to deal with the press conferences and LHN interviews and interviews with us here on the Horn. Really just get back to football, get back to young people, developing young people, team building, all the things that these coaches fall in love with the career for. Like your pops, eh? I mean, your dad's been the coach of Bowie as basketball coach for three decades plus, but he was a college basketball coach. He was a coach at Southwest Texas when he started, but wanted back into that grassroots. And as you said, he's had opportunities to move on from Bowie and take, you know, bigger jobs, bigger steps, and he's stayed right there because he likes coaching young people and impacting that level of basketball.
Yeah, I know a lot of people with the Gary Patterson hire are kind of because the reason why we're in this situation is a lot because of Gary Patterson and what he did in Fort Worth. So I'm not petty. I think it's a great hire. I think it's a great move. And, yeah, if Gary wants to be down here, everything's looking on the up and up for him. Why not?
Yeah, and maybe, look, remember, Dick Tomey was only here for a year, if you weren't around. Dick Tomey was here. The success was so great with he and Greg Robinson that both of them got head coaching jobs the next offseason. Dick Tomey was off to San Jose State, if memory serves, as the head coach. And then Greg Robinson got the head coaching job at Syracuse based on the Rose Bowl victory in 2004. So, Tomey was only here for one season. If you listen to Gary Patterson, DeLoss Dodds, Mac Brown, others that were around the program when it happened, the impact he had was huge. It really was. And setting the table and setting that culture led to six pretty incredible years of Texas football. We'll see if Gary Patterson can replicate that, and that's at least the hope of what this role will be. Coming back, Les Brian Davis about Gary Patterson joining the Texas staff. We'll talk with Texas basketball as well with BD. And, of course, before the top of the hour, Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics on a very cold Thursday morning. Bundle up. Be safe out there.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Being on a very cold Thursday morning, obviously quite a difference from one day ago, 12 hours ago. The blue norther, the Arctic air has blown in. It's hovering right around freezing right now, and it certainly feels much below that with the winds gusting. So be careful out there. Bundle up next 3 days. Talking Texas football, the hiring of Gary Patterson, a big conversation when that will be announced. And also keep an eye on the transfer portal. A couple notes on that real quick. Then we're going to talk to Brian Davis. There is a thought among the college football recruiting and portal experts that Texas is in good possession to land potentially another linebacker or another player from Alabama in the transfer portal. His name is Jalen Moody. He's a linebacker who played in all 15 games for Alabama this year as a reserve inside linebacker. He's out of the state of South Carolina, but obviously has a strong relationship with Steve Sarkisian, Jeff Banks from the time there. So keep an eye on that linebacker as a position of need, especially on the inside. Once again, his name is Jalen Moody. We'll keep an eye on that story. There's been some projections of him committing to Texas, maybe even this week. Also, there's the story of the wide receiver Isaiah Nair, who is from Wyoming but has already committed to Tennessee, but apparently was in Austin yesterday visiting the 40 acres. Even though classes begin in Knoxville next week, he's keeping his options open. He's committed verbally to the Vols, but he's also visited Ole Miss and now looking. It was in Austin yesterday. He's a wide receiver, 6'3", 210 pounds, out of Arlington originally. Isaiah Nair is his name, so keep an eye on those two for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. Now let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, a frequent visitor on our program, and we do appreciate it each and every time. Covers the Longhorns and has covered them for a long time at the Austin American Statesman and hookem.com, Brian Davis. Brian, good morning.
Hello, sir. What's going on?
Man, well, you tell a lot going on. We got Gary Patterson wearing a like a Longhorn pullover. Looks like that deal is done. Any idea of why there hasn't been an announcement of some kind? Or just kind of they doing this in a stealth idea that, hey, nothing to see here, but well, Gary Patterson's joined the staff?
Well, I genuinely think that it's nothing more than this is how it works. I think it's nothing more than this is how it works when you are not a coach trying to get hired by a state agency. You know, if this was a professor or some random person who worked on campus, there's all sorts of steps you have to go through, through human resources. There's a drug test. There's a background check. There's all those types of things. And considering that Gary's not a coach, he's not even an on-field coach in this scenario, there's probably no reason not to go through all the normal steps. And if you've ever worked for UT or A&M or Texas Tech, it's not a quick process. And so that's all I think it is. But the simple fact that Gary showed up in Christo Connie's suite wearing a Texas shirt the other night, I mean, that might as well have been a gold wedding band, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, in our previous segment, we were talking about the connections with he and DeLoss Dodds and of course, his wife, Kelsey, and you know, DeLoss. And, of course, Christo Conti was his boss and worked with him closely at TCU. So there's a lot of connecting of dots. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian, you know, obviously liked the relationship that he built or was able, the conversations he had with Gary, and looks like this thing is moving forward. He's showing up to go to work every day and taking on his new role of special assistant to whatever the coach needs.
Yeah, and I just think that this creates a whole lot of interesting questions for Steve Sarkisian. You know, what exactly does this mean, right? Is this someone who's just going to break down film and sort of help coach the coaches? Or is this a defensive coordinator in waiting, right? Or is this a head coach in waiting? You know, I think these are very legitimate questions that need to be addressed. Because if I'm Pete Kwiatkowski, I'm sitting over there going, why are y'all hiring Gary Patterson? You know, what's up with that? Because this is not, I'm sorry, but this is not some sort of defensive quality control assistant making $25,000. No, this is a 20-year head coaching veteran who has not done as a head coach himself. He's 7-2 against Texas in the last 9 games. You know, he owned Texas. Let's be honest. He owned Texas. And now all of a sudden he's coming in here. Oh, it just happens to be after a 5-7 season where things didn't go so well. I don't know. I just think that there is more to it than he's just coming in here to, you know, to keep his foot in the game and to stay interested in college football.
It is interesting, and we wonder aloud here if there'll be a news conference. At some point, Sark will have an availability, and he'll have to answer those questions, and we'll see when that happens. Maybe it's February 3rd with the second signing window, but we will see. Winter workouts have begun for the Texas Longhorns. Brian Davis is with us, Austin American Statesman, Hook'em.com, that evolving story for sure. Also in the transfer portal, Brian, I mean, Longhorns continue to add pieces and tapping back into that Alabama pipeline. Jaleel Billingsley, a tight end who Jeff Banks had recruited when he was at Alabama from Chicago. And as I mentioned, as you were coming on, maybe a linebacker named Jalen Moody. You know, I know Bucky and I's thought is typically, you know, if they were recruited by Alabama, they're probably pretty good and can help your football team.
For sure. But that being said, you know, Texas picked up, you know, some Alabama transfers and people that Alabama looked at in the past year, and you know, they didn't blow the doors off the place either. So, I mean, you have to take it all into context. I mean, look, I'm a big believer in this. There's a reason why people are in the transfer portal, okay? Don't ever lose sight of that fact. There is a reason why people are leaving their current place.
Sure.
Right? I would caution Texas fans, as excited as you may be, don't ever lose sight of the fact that there's a reason why these people are leaving their previous schools. And so, does that mean that these people are damaged goods? No, absolutely not. You know, a lot of people are looking for more playing time, looking for a situation where they can get on the field faster, and that's why they transfer. But I'm sort of the thought process now of, you know, they're assembling all these players. Well, what does it all mean? You know, I don't really know. But I've seen enough of the transfer portal in a year and a half in multiple sports to know that I would temper your enthusiasm until we see how it looks on the field. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, E, but
no, I think you're right. You know, I think that's fair.
Let's see how it looks first.
Well, and you know, the transfer situation's been, you know, hit or miss for everybody, but certainly for Texas over time. I remember when you know, Trey Watson came in as a transfer from Cal and was a big boost for the Texas run game the 1 year. You know, but last year the guys that came in certainly weren't world beaters. Ben Davis was the Alabama transfer. Keelan Robinson, though, looks like a guy that can really be a factor for the Longhorns offense as a weapon in the coming season. And we'll see what Jahlil Billingsley can be and this other linebacker. But you're right. I mean, there's a reason they're on the move. But it's talent acquisition, right? You know, this is just a new avenue to bring in, you know, and fill holes. Maybe they're not star players, but much like building an NFL roster, you're looking for depth. You're looking for quality players who can be a part of your two deep roster.
There's no question. Texas needs that. Texas needs depth on the O line and the D line. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I am really excited about the class that they signed. You know, I've said it before with you guys. I'll say it again. I think Kelvin Banks should be a starter on day one. You know, get him out there and let's see what he can do at tackle. You know, I think Quinn Ewers is probably going to be a starter, you know, day one. Although I do like Malik Murphy. Let's see what Malik Murphy's got, right? So you are going to build your program through freshman, high school recruits, freshman recruiting. That's how you're going to build your program. But I still think the transfer portal should be used as a sort of a plug and play special situation type of things. One other thing too, real quick on the portal, is that people are surprised. There may be some people who are surprised that Texas is, all these players are visiting Texas, right? And what I think that says is that it still speaks to the power of the brand, right? They may have gone 5-7, but a lot of athletes still want to come check out Austin, Texas, see what they got. I mean, the brand is still pretty good, even though the team it may be struggling at any given point.
Yeah, and the hype of the town, people want to come check out Austin, see what all the
absolutely.
What all the fuss is about, because it does get a lot of, not just locally, but national press as a city on the rise, no doubt. Boomtown. Hey, Brian, the basketball side, transfer portal, obviously a big factor in the building of Chris Beard's first roster at Texas, and where are you? They're 13-5. They're kind of scuffling along, and you know, it almost feels like Chris Beard's still kind of sending messages with his player rotations of, you know, you just saw Dylan Dessou and Trey Mitchell, you know, not play a lot of minutes the other night, and then got called out in the post game by Chris Beard for their intensity on a play-by-play basis. What's your read of this team that's now taken back-to-back Big 12 losses? Still doesn't seem like they have an offensive identity. Where are you with the basketball side?
What a giant question mark over my head, quite frankly. I knew that because of who they played in non-conference, it was going to be very hard to tell what this thing was or wasn't, right? The only three games that mattered in non-conference, Gonzaga, Seton Hall, and Stanford, they went 1-2, right? The real problem from a schedule standpoint is that their schedule gets dramatically harder in February. They still have not played Baylor, Kansas, or Texas Tech. That is six of nine games in the back half of the schedule. I mean, that's going to look like a murderer's row all of a sudden, right? They still have to go to West Virginia. I mean, they still haven't even played TCU at all yet. And you know, and you got to at least hope for a split with every one of these conference matchups. So why are they struggling? You know, I think part of the problem has been, I think there's been too much deferral to one another. Like, hey, you shoot it. No, you shoot it. Oh, no, you're a gentleman, you shoot it, right? It's like, hey, somebody step up and take control here, right? And it's like, I think that's what Marcus Carr was trying to do in the second half of the Iowa State game, and he absolutely did it in the second half of the Kansas State game the other night. Now, granted, the last shot didn't go in. That was a tough deal. I thought that was a very good look. The ball just didn't go in the hole. But the fact is that they need other people besides one guy to step up and make big shots. Andrew Jones, got to hit some big shots. Ramey, got to hit some big shots. Jace Febres, where have you gone, my man? They need him to step up, and when he gets in there, he's got to hit some threes. So it's not on one player. quite frankly, I think all of them need to get going. Chris was right. Chris was right. Nine turnovers by the forwards in Ames, that was completely unacceptable for this group.
Yeah, lack of focus there. And you're right about Marcus Carr. That was the, you know, in a low-light game that we saw Tuesday night, Marcus Carr with 25, 19 in the second half. That's kind of the take-over-the-game mentality Texas is going to need moving forward into that murderer's row, as you described it, Brian. But in the end, they didn't get the production. And the one thing that we've talked about is, why can't they get two guards going on one night, right? Why can't they get, because I think you're right about the deference that they're paying. It's almost like they pass up good shots to look for a great shot instead of, hey, just take the good shot. Take the good look, because it seems like Andrew Jones will blow up, but the other guards will be a little bit off. That's when this team will be its best, if they can get there, is when, you know, two guards are having big nights around Timmy Allen and the front line is stepping up.
See, and also too, it's like, you know, Chris really likes Devin Askew, and that's fine, you know, that's good. But Devin Askew is absolutely passing up open shots.
Yeah.
He's definitely passing shots that he must take. And now coach is going to see that on film. And so if you have a lineup, like there was a lineup for a stretch there in the second half where it was Devin Askew, Brock Cunningham, and others. And you know, and everyone loves Brock to death, and I do too. But he's not an offensive threat. He's not a major offensive threat. So if you're going to have a lineup with two guys that the other team isn't scared of offensively, to me that's a problem, right? to me that's a problem. So, I still think Timmy Allen and Trey Mitchell have to be big time leaders down low, and I think they are. I really, really like Trey's ability to distribute the ball out of the high post and get other guys involved. But again, it comes back to the theme that was before the Oklahoma game. Attack, attack, attack. When you go to the rim, good things happen, as Kansas State proved over and over and over and over again Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, that becomes an issue too. That, you know, I know Chris Beard, when we talk about offense, Chris Beard, when we talk to him tomorrow on the show, we'll probably be talking about the defensive lapses down the stretch and not, you know, allowing that easy penetration to K-State. And, you know, Chris is a defensive guy first and thinks the offense will come off of that. But both were lacking in that final 3.5-minute stretch against the Wildcats. Hey, Brian, appreciate it. Know you got busy stuff to do, and always like your perspective on all these things. I know our listeners do too. Enjoy your work, as always, at hook'em.com and at the Austin American Statesman, and we'll check in again soon. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, sir.
Brian Davis, there you go. Yeah, interesting on the transfer portal, the building of a roster, talent acquisition, and then Chris Beard trying to get this thing going. And, you know, his point on Gary Patterson is a fair one, right? I mean, what is the role until we hear from Steve Sarkisian on what his vision is for what Gary Patterson will do? You know, that becomes an open question, but we got a little bit of it earlier in our coach's corner. We mentioned that, according to Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7, Gary told him that he wants to be Dick Tomey, like Dick Tomey was to Mac Brown. He wants to be that for Steve Sarkisian. And so coming up after our Hot or Not with Isaiah Collier, Casey Studdard's going to jump on. Big case. Casey was here back in 2004 as an offensive lineman when Dick Tomey arrived as an assistant to Mac Brown and an assistant to Greg Robinson on the defensive side of the ball. We'll ask Casey what impact that had from his recollection and his thoughts on Gary Patterson joining the staff. Texas football with Casey Studdard at the top of the hour. But right now we'll get back to the Hot or Not topics. Isaiah Collier leads us through those coming next, live and local, right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on a Thursday. It's a Buck-Off Thursday here on B&E. Bucky Godbolt on his way out to Pennsylvania to visit some family this weekend, so he'll be back on Monday. He'll be out today and tomorrow. But special guests and big conversations continue. And Isaiah Collier still leads us through the Hot or Not conversations, including this. Mike McCarthy, Zay, the Cowboys head coach, told the Dallas Morning News yesterday that the final play call that's been so much bantied about and conversational, the final 14 seconds of the Cowboys loss, said he told the Dallas Morning News, so it's the right call, he says. The situation is right. It's right there off the call sheet. So that part is right. And then he gets into the mechanics of it, the officials' mechanics. He did say the one thing he wishes had been done different if Dak Prescott had slid sooner. He said he wished Dak, he said, cut it to 10 yards. That's probably going to be changed, an adjustment we make. But make it a 10-yard run, get to the ground and get up and save yourself. You got 17 yards on the game. But Mike McCarthy adamant to the end that the call was right to run a quarterback draw with 14 seconds to go and no timeouts.
Let them know, Mike. Let them know. I'm Mike McCarthy. I know how to coach. I won the Super Bowl. Jerry, shut your old ass up. I got this.
Well, he kind of got into the mechanics of the officials, mechanics of Dak. I don't want to say he's blaming Dak, but he did say, I wish he had cut it to 10 yards shorter. Now, he then said, well, I need to change that because, you know, it's not on the play sheet. Well, just because you have it on the play sheet doesn't make it right, right? Other coaches have disputed that, you know, really just under 20 seconds is about the limit without a timeout to assure that you can get the ball spiked and get another play. But either way, that will be debated in Cowboys lore forever. Also on the not hot side, Zay, did you hear what the former Longhorn and former Horn intern Charles Amenihu had to say yesterday?
My dude, I did not.
Yeah. Did you get to meet Charles when he was interning with us?
I did.
He's such a good guy. Yeah, Charles
Amenihu.
Yeah,
people confused us because we're both dark-skinned brothers. He's in way better shape than I am, so I took that as a compliment. He probably did not.
Yeah, you're both tall, too.
Yeah, tall, dark-skinned brothers.
Big dudes. But so the now San Francisco 49ers defensive lineman Charles Amenihu, who was traded from the Houston Texans to San Francisco during the season, was asking, because of course now they're in the playoffs and they're playing the Packers on Saturday night. He said he did not hide his feelings about the Texans trading. He says, and when asked about the difference in San Francisco versus, you know, what he was dealing with in Houston, he said, it's not a circus show here. He said, it's not a circus show. He added out of the 49ers aren't an ego-driven organization. They don't have power struggles between the head coach and the general manager. And he said, it's been an absolute breath of fresh air to get out of Houston and get dealt to San Francisco. Breath of fresh air. Well, as Texans fans, we know what we're dealing with. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, CEO, for mentioning that. But what do you have in Hot or Not, Zay? Topics we've missed halfway through this Thursday edition?
Yeah, listen to this bogus story. So the Washington Wizards played the Brooklyn Nets last night in D.C. So Kyrie Irving got to play, and he gave the Wizards 30 points. But the highlight of the night, which the Wizards ended up losing by 1 point, remember that. The highlight of the night came in the fourth quarter where Spencer Dinwiddie tried to swing the ball for an open shot to Kyle Kuzma. Well, Nets assistant coach David Vonterpool deflected the pass, E.
What?
Refs didn't see it, didn't call it.
From the bench?
From the bench. So he got a steal for the night, came off the bench. This coach should be fined a lot. But yeah, it was a turnover. The Wizards were shocked, rattled. They were trying to, you know, blame the coach, get the call. The Nets were on the other end. It's their possession. Ended up losing by
one.
How
did the refs not see it?
Bad officiating.
Come on, man. Guy, so an assistant coach got credit for a steal? No, he can't put it in the scorebook. He's not in it. But wow. I'm going to go look at that highlight. It was a crazy night in the NBA.
Yeah, then he backed up like, oh, oops, my bad. Sorry.
Well, it reminds me that, you know, we had a former intern here on the B&E show who he happened to be at the time, well, he still is, Mac Brown's stepson, and he was one of our producers way back. We're talking like 22 years ago. Name was Chris Jesse, right? And he was a producer for us. And you might remember a couple years later after he moved on from an internship with us and went off to college, remember when Texas was playing in a bowl game and a kid came off the sidelines and picked up a loose ball?
Yes.
Remember that?
I do.
And like the ball was still live and he's picking it up. That was Chris. That was our former intern. And I'm texting Bucky. Did you see who that was? That was unbelievable. Yeah, Chris. Chris is doing well now in real estate and good kid. Good person. He's not a kid anymore. We were all kids back then. But yeah, that's an assistant coach. Also, Zay, what do you make of this? I mentioned in that the reports out there, the Big 12 making plans for life without Texas and Oklahoma, but they are still considering Texas and Oklahoma part of the conference. So reports of now a 14-team league with seven two 7-team divisions being planned for 2023 in the Big 12. Okay? And in it, Texas and Oklahoma are split up. Texas is in the South, Oklahoma is in the North. But also in this proposed new 7-team divisions, West Virginia is in the South. What? They're not. If the Big 12 is going to divide this up, and whether Texas and Oklahoma are in the conference or not, you're not going to have Cincinnati and West Virginia in the same side of the conference? What's the logic to that? And West Virginia is not in the South region of the Big 12.
Haven't gotten that far yet. They're just trying to keep this conference together.
West Virginia in the South with Texas, Texas Tech, TCU, Houston, Baylor, UCF? And not putting them up there with their regional neighbor at Cincinnati? I mean, one of the cool things about getting Cincinnati into the conference is you... I don't know. They should be on the same side. That would be my opinion. Doesn't mean they can't play during the regular season, but seems odd to me. But leave it to the Big 12. We'll be back. That's Hot or Not. Casey Studdard talking Texas football next.